This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. How many of you believe that this morning? That this is the day. It doesn't matter what the doctors may say. Doctors may not always say what you want them to say. Children might not always act the way that you expect them to act. Spouse may not always treat you the way you want to be treated. But at the end of the day, when you wake up, you ought to still just say, or in the morning when you wake up, you ought to just say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I was not promised this day. And because I was not promised this day, I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to be glad inside of it. Amen, somebody. My name is Gerald Lee II. I'm so excited to be here. I bring you greetings from Houston, Texas, where I have, it's already been read, I've been the senior minister for the last 8 years at the congregation there, Southside, and have had a wonderful, wonderful learning experience. I'm also, as was stated, I'm a seventh grade teacher. So I get to work with kids every single day. I get to talk to kids every single day. And one thing that I've learned is our kids need attention. This side didn't like that. Let me come over here. One thing that I've learned is our kids need attention. And the reason why is because if we don't, as the body of Christ, put things like this in place, if we don't take the time to speak to that demographic, then somebody's going to talk to them. And we don't always want the ones talking to them that are talking to them. And so I commend Greenville Avenue for having these youth days and taking the time to reach this demographic and speak to this demographic, because our young people are crying out for help more times than not. And sometimes it's easy to come to church. Old folk do it too. It's easy to come to church and look like everything's all right, look like everything is together, look like everything is just fine. But on the inside, they're crying out for some kind of attention. And if the body of Christ does not stand up and give that attention, then somebody else will. So I commend this congregation for taking the time to speak to the young people. It was encouraging to see the young people leading the service, young people doing the prayers, young people doing the singing, young people serving on the table, because that is something that is definitely needed. And I guarantee you, if we continue to put that inside of them here, then when they go outside of these walls, it won't just be something that they've heard, but it'll be a part of who they are. So I commend Greenville Avenue for taking the time to do this Youth Day. It's so good to see so many faces, so many people. I grew up in this area. I grew up down the street from Brother Gibbs, three houses down. So there's so much history for me that's right here. So I can't begin to call names, but I do want to. People always say they're not going to call names, but then they start calling them. So I just want to say my best friend growing up, Shelton Gibbs IV. So good to see him. So good to see Brother and Sister Gibbs. It's so good to see Chanel back there. I was the first one to ride on an airplane with Chanel. Remember that? You don't remember that? You wanted to forget the ride. Amen. She was so scared the whole time. But I was the first one to be on that plane, but it was so good to just be there with her, and so good to see all of you all. It was read earlier. Allow me to just read it one more time. I want to commend the brother for the scripture reading. But I'm going to read it one more time. 1 Chronicles 28, 9 through 11. The Bible says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. Amen. I serve a good God. He's not on Facebook, but he's still my friend. He does not have a Twitter account, yet I still follow him. I said I serve a good God. And he's not a good God simply because of what he does for me. But he's good just because he is who he is. If God never does anything else for me, he's good just because he is God. Several years ago, there was a rapper by the name of Trinidad James. He had a song that talked about all the things that he could do and all the stuff that he could get. Probably his most famous song was the one he had. I think he's a one-hit wonder, but he had this song that said, "Gold all in my chains, gold." Somebody knows exactly what I'm talking about. "Gold all in my ring," he says, "gold all in my watch." He then goes on to say, "If you don't believe me, just watch." See, apparently he believed he had some people that did not believe in him, or he's going to prove everybody wrong that doubts his ability. And in this song, he talks about all the things that he has and all of the stuff that he's going to get. And if you don't believe me, just watch. However, long before, there was this 26-year-old rapper at the time named Trinidad James, a.k.a. Nicholas Williams. There was a man named King David. He was not a gangster rapper, but at certain times in his life, he was sure enough gangster. He was one who knew about the love and about the power and the miracle grace of God. Please understand, David had many imperfections in his life. He made mistakes. He messed up. There were times when he was depressed, even times when he was disciplined for making bad decisions and having bad choices. However, the Bible also shows his commitment when it came to serving his God. It was David that said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You know what that means? In other words, if you don't believe him, just watch. See, in verse 9, he said to Solomon, "Acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. So if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, then he will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work." Solomon had something for the Lord, and he needed God's involvement in every single detail of his life. Are you ever, here's a question for our young people. If you older, you can answer it too. But are you ever disappointed with God's involvement in your life? Does it ever seem that God is so far away during the week when you're trying to make decisions, or when you are faced with some kind of difficulty, or when you are faced with some kind of dilemma? Are you ever disappointed because it seems that the God that you praise is seemingly nowhere to be found? Some of you are trying to make the best decision in your school or with your friends, or you know what you learn in church and you know what you should be doing, but it seems like the godly things that you learn are not the most popular things that will make you popular.
It seems that the things that you learn inside of your Sunday school are not the things that are going to get you the most friends. And because it's not going to make you the most popular, it's not going to make you stand out the most, then sometimes we find ourselves compromising to fit in with everybody else. In this text, David gives Solomon advice towards experiencing God's maximum involvement inside of his life before he got ready to build the temple. Now, notice that God did not allow David to build the temple. Why? Because he was a man of war who had too much blood on his hands. Gangster. Young people, even at a young age, you have to be concerned. Now get this. He could not build the temple because of things that he had already done. And because of the things he had already done were not pleasing and acceptable, it messed up his blessing for what could have been his in the future. Young people, even at a young age, you have to be very concerned about what you do, about what you say, about where you go, because there may be things that you would like to do later on in life, but you can't do it because of your choices that you've already made. Many of you will want to go to college and start an exciting career in a few years, but may not be able to because of the grades that you're making right now. Those grades, if you don't know, those grades are put on a transcript and they follow you all the way to your collegiate years. Some of you will want to get married one day. Sooner or later, you're going to like it and want to put a ring on it. But you might have nothing to offer because you might be playing for fun instead of praying for direction. So be careful what you do now and how you use your time and what you lend yourself to, because you may find yourself encouraging other people to do what potentially you could have done for yourself. So God allowed David to have the plans, but Solomon was the one who would ultimately build the temple. David gives Solomon principles that we need for our lives as well. Y'all have time for this? We're going to look at three quick things. First thing we're going to look at is get to know God personally. Number two, learn God's commands and discover what he wants you to do. And then number three, worship God with a wholehearted devotion. How many of you pay attention to God's sightings in your life? How many of you pay attention to what God is doing in your life? Are you on the lookout for the ways that the Lord is involving himself in your every single day situations? My question is, how much time do you pay to what God is doing in your daily activities? If you're not looking, then you can very easily miss these kinds of sightings or think that it was some kind of coincidence or accidents. We start to say things like, it was just luck. We start to say crazy stuff like, the stars lined up right and the moon lined up with the... Some of y'all don't want to say amen because you be looking at some of this foolishness. Amen, somebody. But if we're not careful, we'll start to give the credit of what God is doing to everything else and everybody else, and we'll start saying, it was my HMO, it was my PPO, it was my best friend, it was the noni juice. No, it was God that did everything inside of your life, and we have to learn how to see him, and how to spot what he's doing in order to have a personal relationship with God for ourselves. See, sometimes we're so busy with school. We're so busy with sports. We're so busy with work or just not paying attention that we don't even see how involved God really is in our lives. We don't always consider that God may be interested in what happens to us every single day. But here it is. We must learn, like David, not to limit him to only parts of our lives. Young people, you know how it is when you want to invite your friend over to the house and mom says they can come, but before they can come, you got to clean up your room first. So what do? You go inside of your room and you clean the most obvious stuff. And the rest of that mess goes under the bed or in the closet somewhere. Then when mom comes in to check to see if you followed instructions, you very diligently lead her only to the parts of the room that you want her to see and be involved in. Do you know that we do God the exact same way? God, I need to be blessed, but I need you to stay out of certain parts of my life. God, you can come in, but this part right here is not for you. We compartmentalize God. But God says, I want to be your everything. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy, and I will give you rest. But all you have to do is open the door, and I will come in and I will eat with you. We need to put God in everything that we do in some form or another, even when it doesn't make sense, because there will be people in your life that don't understand your convictions. And so when you start speaking godly talk in the third grade, in the fourth grade, in the fifth grade, in the sixth grade, and you're the only one who has a relationship with God for yourself, there will be people that don't understand why you pray over your lunch. And sometimes, and I'm not talking about the adults, there will be kids that are watching you, not understanding why you are the way that you are. But you have to learn how to put God in stuff even when it does not make sense to the rest of the world. Okay, let me come get you. When my 9-year-old, Shelton, when my 9-year-old was two, she figured this concept out. One night she was saying, I was putting her to bed, and she wanted to sing a song. Anybody got kids that want to waste your time and make you sing? Hey, y'all don't want to talk to me. But she wanted to sing a song. I said, okay, Danielle, that's fine. Go ahead and sing your song. So she started singing Bingo. Y'all know that song? B-I-N-G-O. Y'all know? Okay, y'all done heard it before. She said, there was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. Then she paused for a second because she knew what the world says should go there. But she also remembered what she learned in Sunday school. It was like she was battling inside of herself because she knew what the world spells, but the church spells something different. So with her 2-year-old self, she started to sing it again, and it went like this. There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. J-E-S-U-S. 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 Here's the part that tripped me out. She said, and Bingo was his name. Oh, you've got to put God in it even when it does not make any sense. See, God doesn't always interfere with our daily struggles and our daily decisions. It's not because he can't or even because he won't. Often, it is simply because we don't stop long enough to worship and acknowledge and give him his praise. David told Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father. We think, I don't need God's help today because everything is going great. We say, I can handle things all by myself. See, when things start going good, sometimes we forgot how low we were when we pray to him. And when God brings us out and snatches us out from whatever we've been in, then sometimes we forget how low he had to reach in order to bring us back up to where we are. Let me share a story with you. Out of the cliff's edge, farther than he'd ever been before, he sat with legs dangling high above the valley's floor. He was lost in thought when a gust of wind made him start to fall. He looked around for help, but there was no one there at all. So he called upon a friend, I guess the only one he could. You know, the one we all forget about when things are going good. He said, God, if you will help me now, I'll quit my sinful ways. I will do those things you'd have me do and work hard all my days. I'll quit the booze and ditch the club and help my loving wife. I'll spend time with my children. I'll just turn around my life. I'll work to help the needy, and I promise to repent. Just then, a tree limb caught his coat and stopped his fast descent. And while hanging from the tree that grew upon that rocky shelf, he looked to God and said, never mind, I handled it myself. How many of us find ourselves right there? Young people, we think that we are who we are because of something that we've done in and of ourselves. Can anybody in here relate to that? See, as a child of God, even though you cannot always see him at work, you can be sure that he's always there. If you really knew and believed that God was with you 24/7, my question is, how would it affect your life? Would you go ahead and ask him to work in your life without worrying so much about how things would turn out? Would you experience fewer what ifs? I would trust him, but what if? I would follow God, but what if? See, later on in this chapter, David told Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. Watch this. He will not fail you or forsake you. Our fear seems to really come not from knowing the Lord well enough. We know everything else. We know Cardi B dates that boy from Migos. I done lost 90% of the old folk in here. We know that the Milwaukee Bucks got beat by Boston last night. We even know Kevin Durant has hundreds of million dollars and still won't buy a haircut. We know all of this stuff. We know about music. We know about sports. We're just not always sure about the God who says, I am the great I am. Getting to know the Lord really means I've got to spend time with him every single day. Young people, I need you to hear me. It is a process. Sometimes, can we just be honest? Sometimes our young people can look at some of our older people and they think, I will never get to where they are. I sometimes say it today, Brother Gibbs. I sometimes say it today. I look at my grandmother and I say, when we're all in the line of judgment, if she's before me, if she don't make it, I'm not even walking up there. Y'all done thought that too. Because everybody has somebody that they look at as, I'll never get to that level. I'll never be as good as them. I'll never be as far along as them. Young people, it is a process. And I guarantee you, if you were to sit down and talk to some of these people that you put on pedestals, then what you'll find is they have struggles just like everybody else. Now, they might not struggle with what you struggle with, but it's not because they've never struggled with it. It's just that they allowed God to move in their lives and move those obstacles from their individual situations. It is a process, and it takes time. David told Solomon, learn to know God's command and find out what he wants you to do. What is he saying? He's saying, get to know God personally. That comes as you walk with God on a daily basis. Get to know where he is in your life by discussing things with him, or by discussing things with him just like you would your best friend. Get to know him because you spend time talking to him. Let me say this too. Relationship will not happen overnight. Now, I know the young kids don't do Facebook anymore. All of them at school tell me, Mr. Lee, Facebook is for old people. But I'm going to say this because it's still cute. Stop spending so much time in Facebook and get your face in the book. I just wanted to say that. It might not apply to young people no more, but I just wanted to say it. Amen. David told Solomon, serve him wholeheartedly and with a willing mind. In many ways, Solomon understood this trust in the Lord that his father was trying to get across to him. Later on, he would write in Proverbs 3, and we're about done. Proverbs 3, 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Have you acknowledged the Lord this week in your daily decisions? This morning, how is God represented inside of your life? This morning, are you looking at the details of how God works and moves inside of your life? Are you looking for the God sightings in your life? Or are you taking everything that he's given to you for granted? Learn how to say, it was not just that I'm so smart. It was not just that I'm so cute. It was not just that I'm so popular. But it's the God that I serve every single day who makes things possible inside of my life. And even when it looks like things will not turn around in your life. Has any young people ever had a bad day? Just by a show of hand, young people, have you ever had a bad day? Some of these hands going up and y'all ain't young no more. Young people have had bad days, but I want to encourage the young people to just hold on to the details of who God is, because his redemptive power is inside of his details. Watch this. In John 2:1, the story is told about Jesus at the wedding party, and they've run out of wine at this particular party. And Mary goes to Jesus and she says, we've run out of wine. And he looks at her and basically says, why are you telling me this? my time has not come. But then she tells the disciples, do what he says. Now, what did he tell her to do? He told her to tell them to fill up 6 water pots to the brim. Okay, if you read the text says that each of them could hold up to 30 gallons for the purification of the Jews. Okay? So when you learn how to look at the details of what he tells you, he's telling you, I can turn around any situation if you learn how to trust me. Let's do a little math. 30 times 6, 3, 6, 9, 12, 150, 180. God was saying, I will do a 180 in your life if you learn how to just do what I say and trust me when I say it. See, we don't want him to do a 360. Because if he does a 360, I end up right back where I was. So when I do 30 times 6, it's 180. God will turn your situation completely around if you learn to look at the details, even in your life as a young person. Wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, stop letting peer pressure get the best of you. Stop letting what other people think get the best of you. But learn how to say, I learned at Greenville Avenue, Church of Christ, what is and is not acceptable. And if I've got to be the only one standing by myself because I'm doing what's right, then I'm going to make my church proud. And I'm going to follow what thus saith the Lord. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Wherever you are this morning, let God turn it around. Let God do a 180 in your life. And let him fix any situation, whether you're in kindergarten or whether you're a senior in college. Young people still need prayer. This morning, let us pray for you. Let us pray that you have a stronger week this week than you had last week. Let us pray that you don't get caught up in the snares of what people think and what people say. Because you know what the reality is? People are always going to think and say something. They talked about Jesus too. Dare to be different and dare to be like Christ. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ, hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe what you've heard, Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. 3 and 5. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sin. Galatians 3, 26, 27. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you're here and you've already done that, and you just need prayer, don't worry about your age. Let us pray for you that you'll be stronger and better and a great example to everybody who looks at you. Wherever you are, come now as together we sing the song of invitation.
Selection 920.